VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Ladies and gentlemen, the sky is falling. I mean, did you hear me, folks? The sky is falling. Well, I know this is a message that's been given for decades now, but this time we mean it. The sky is falling. Oh, I know there was warning about a coming ice age that, well, didn't quite materialize. I know the message was changed to say that the polar ice caps would all melt and islands would be swallowed up. And I know it was indicated that rising sea levels would take homes all over the globe, but we mean it now. The sky is falling. Well, that is virtually the message coming from the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres as he made recent remarks at a UN press conference on climate change last Thursday. And friends, you can forget about global warming. That's all over and done. The new declaration is now that global boiling has arrived and that we must act now. I'd like you to listen to some excerpts from his speech of Secretary Guterres.
The era of global warming has ended. The era of global boiling has arrived. The air is unbreathable. The heat is unbearable. And the level of fossil fuel profits and climate inaction is unacceptable. According to the data released today, July has already seen the hottest three-week period ever recorded, the three hottest days on record, and the highest ever ocean temperatures for this time of year. The consequences are clear and they are tragic. Children swept away by monsoon rains, families running from the flames, workers collapsing in scorching heat. Leaders must lead. No more hesitancy, no more excuses, no more waiting for the others to move first. There is simply no more time for that.
No more time, ladies and gentlemen. The sky is falling. Joining us today, Mark Morano, who manages CFACTS, that's Citizens for Constructive Tomorrow, their award-winning ClimateDepot.com news and information service. He is the award-winning producer, writer, and host of Climate Hustle feature films. Mark served as a senior advisor to Senator James Inhofe. He also is the author of The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change, A Green Fraud, Why the Green New Deal is Even Worse Than You Think, and The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. Mark, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. Happy to be here today.
So you heard the warnings from the Secretary General. Do you now abandon every skeptical comment that you've made over the last many years about man-caused global climate change? How do you respond to this?
Well, first of all, who is the Secretary General of the UN, and why is he making such a big deal about climate change? Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General, is the former president of Socialist International. That's the first thing your audience and you need to know, because he is pushing this because a crisis means that you can push the socialist agenda, push the Marxist agenda, and push a totalitarian agenda. And they're weaponizing a normal hot summer by which to do it. Now, I'd like to break, I think we should break all these claims down because it's very important, and I can do this in a very listener-friendly way. I'm not going to get too technical here, but essentially calling this global boiling is utter nonsense. Why do we know it's utter nonsense? Because, first of all, in 1990, the first United Nations Climate Panel report, which was the group was started in 1988, listed and had a chart showing the medieval warm period from 900 to 1300 A.D., roughly, to be much warmer than today's current temperatures. Scientists then at the UN actually publicly said we have to get rid of the medieval warm period. It was inconvenient. So in 2001 report, they erased the medieval warm period, went back and just altered the data and said, oh, you know what, it doesn't exist anymore. And they showed a flat line of temperatures until you got to the 20th century, and then it shows it skyrocketing. They got rid of the little ice age. So that's point one. Point two, there's peer-reviewed studies and data showing the Roman warming period down around 0 AD during biblical times was probably much warmer than today. So we've cooled since 0 AD. We're about the same or cooled since the medieval warm period. So that's the background of that. Now, to go even further into these claims of the hottest year and the three hottest days and the hottest year, 100, they claim 100,000 years. I mean, all these absurdities. If you look at Joe Biden's EPA chart, they have a thing called the heat index. It shows the 1930s heat waves in the United States. Remember the Oklahoma, the Dust Bowl, Grapes of Wrath was written in the Steinbeck's novel about the Oklahoma family and the horrible weather and drought. Well, that was the worst heat waves the United States has experienced before or since. And now we have scientists coming out, by the way, saying we need to get rid of the 1930s heat waves because they're inconvenient to the narrative. And by the way, they will be successful, I'm sure, on that. But you can look at the Biden administration's own Environmental Protection Agency charts that show you that heat was worse. We have to look at other records. 75% of all state high temperature records occurred before 1955 in the United States. So nothing unprecedented is going on now. In the case of like Phoenix, which the UN Secretary General and the media has been hyping, they had 110 days of record. That, the last time they were this hot was 1974 in June, when this is the record that they just recently broke. Well, in 1974, the week that they broke that, the last time it was this hot in Phoenix, was the same week that Time Magazine was warning of a man-made global cooling scare, a coming ice age. And I'm not, the exact same week that Phoenix did that. And no one was talking about, wow, it's so hot in Phoenix here in 1974 because of man-made global warming. They were worried about man-made global cooling and a coming ice age. So it just goes to show you that, picking these one city here and one single day here is meaningless in the big climate picture. And I'll stop right there, but that's my opening. And I'd like to go through each claim, the hottest oceans, the studies that claim you couldn't have got this warm without CO2, the Antarctic sea ice they're claiming is unprecedented low. Mm-hmm. And there's actual, I mean, if you go to Climate Depot, I have literally a study on each of these, a pushback special report on each of these claims.
Sure. And we'll work through some of these here, Mark. But as you point out, night after night over the past several weeks, I mean, we've seen the stories, the heat wave, you know, how many days in a row above 100 or 110 degrees, you know, mentioned the Phoenix and what's been happening in some of the southern states, even Florida. Does a heat wave equate to man-caused global climate change? I believe you're answering that no.
Not even close. Remember, climate, you know, I worked for Senator James Inhofe, Oklahoma. He just retired earlier this year, actually late last year. And he got in trouble one time for throwing a snowball on the Senate floor. He went out during a snowstorm. There was during a debate on global warming. And as a joke, he threw a snowball and said, you know, it's still snow outside. It hasn't warmed that much, or something along those lines. Media has never forgotten that. They said, how about that? He's using the existence of snow to disprove global warming. They exaggerated it. And they've always laughed at climate skeptics who point to a record cold temperature somewhere and say, oh, look at that. That's a one day of weather does not make climate. Yet here we are in 2023, and one day of a heat wave now makes climate change claims. This is what they do. It is absolutely, there is nothing, and I repeat, nothing unusual. My headline at the moment at Climate Depot are two top climate scientists rubbishing the claims that July was the hottest month ever, and they said the public is being, quote, misinformed on a massive scale, unquote. And this is Cliff Mass, professor of atmospheric sciences at University of Washington. And he goes on and says, the stunning amount of exaggeration and hype of extreme weather and heat waves, it's counterproductive. Because he's not really a climate skeptic. He says, I'm not a contrarian. And he says it was radically warmer 1,000 years ago. Remember, I was talking about the medieval warm period in the year about 1,000 A.D. John Christie, another climatologist, formerly of NASA, said the heat waves of the first half of the 20th century were as intense, at least as intense as those of the more recent decades. And he goes on and says, I haven't seen anything this summer that's an all-time record for these long-term stations. So the data isn't there. The support isn't there. But what are they trying to do? They're moving from a COVID psyop to a climate psyop. And they're weaponizing every single weather event, whether it's a hurricane, flood, drought, tornado, wildfire. And by the way, every single one of those things I just mentioned, on climate timescales of 30, 50, 100 years, there's either no trend or declining trends. And that is according to even the United Nations climate report. It's according to the U.S. National Climate Assessment. Mm-hmm. All the underlying data doesn't support that. So this is not a scientific debate. This is a political debate where they're trying to essentially impose a new form of a sort of climate lockdown, if you will, now that COVID is fading away.
Okay, and Mark, I'm losing you from time to time, so if you can talk right into the mouthpiece of the phone.
Yeah, that was it.
Great. Evidently, the statement even about July being the hottest month ever recorded in human history, I mean, you've got groups like the World Meteorological Organization, the European Commission's Copernicus Climate Change Service. Are these not reputable on these issues?
Well, no, absolutely. When you look at, like, the World Meteorological Society, when you look at the UN, when you look at the American Meteorological Society, the actual groups of scientists and some of the reports they do are very good. But what happens is, think of it as the leadership. When they endorse these climate statements or even do interviews with the media, there's about 24 governing board members of these scientific societies, and they are all heavily steeped in the climate narrative, in climate funding, in academia, and in government outreach with politicians and bureaucrats. So everything they say is going to be in support of the narrative. You're not going to get a dispassionate statement from the head of the World Meteorological Society any more than you are from the United Nations, mm-hmm. any more than you are from the World Health Organization. I mean, can you imagine the head of the World Health saying, COVID lockdowns aren't really necessary or we don't need mask mandate. It would never happen because right. It goes against the narrative. So these organizations have essentially been co-opted. It's essentially, for lack of a better word, it's like a woke agenda that's taken yep. over. And now we see the same thing that happened in COVID. Think back to COVID. You had scientists, Nobel Prize winning chemist Michael Levitt, who was uninvited to scientific conferences because he didn't go along with the narrative. Mm-hmm. You have scientists from Stanford and Harvard who signed on to the Great Barrington Declaration opposed to lockdowns and mask mandates and vaccine mandates. And what did you have? You had the head of the CDC, NIH, Anthony Fauci, and the head of the CDC, Francis Collins, collude with big tech, collude with the Biden administration to silence yeah. them. So to reverse your question, Jim, if Anthony Fauci had said something about COVID, isn't he reputable? Isn't he? He's a top scientist. He's got 40 years experience. He's got all the medical degrees. Shouldn't we listen to the experts? That's what you're hearing when you hear the World the Meteorological Society head come out and say those kind of statements. They're basically the Faucis of climate, and that's how we've got into this corruption of science that's happening in both public health and in the climate science.
And just to prove your point here, Mark, I mean, we just had the International Monetary Fund just cancel a speech that was to be given by John Clauser, who a recipient of a Nobel yes. Prize in physics, after he said climate change is not a crisis. I guess this just didn't fit that narrative of doom and gloom.
Yes, John Clauser just, in fact, at the article today, he did an exclusive interview, I think it was the Epic Times, and he calls himself a climate denier, facetiously. Because, by the way, when someone says you're a climate denier, they're trying to evoke images of the Holocaust and Holocaust deniers. It's a way to smear anyone who doesn't right. agree with the government right. view on this. But John Clauser, the 2022, just last year, Nobel Prize-winning scientist, came out and literally declared his climate dissent. He says climate science is, quote, totally awash in pseudoscience. And this is a man who was just feted last year. I mean, literally given all the awards, was up in Oslo on the stage. He was now going to be honored with he was going to do a presentation on climate change at the International Monetary Fund, which has gone completely bonkers on climate change narrative. Mm-hmm. This is a long scheduled meeting about 2 days before he was scheduled to speak, 2 weeks ago now. He was informed that his talk had been canceled and may be rescheduled at some future date, which has not yet happened.
Wow. We got to take a break right here. Mark Morano is with us today on Crosstalk on the topic of global boiling hysteria. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, many are claiming that birds are modern-day dinosaurs. Can this be true?
No, it's not, Chris. Evolutionists must have an evolutionary story that they can tell people, and this is the one that they've chosen to use this decade. But the story isn't even consistent with the facts. Even given the evolutionary interpretation of the dates of the fossils, it doesn't fit. For instance, the first bird in the fossil record is dated by evolutionary standards to be before the dinosaurs, not after. And birds are so different from dinosaurs, it simply is impossible to think that a marvelously designed bird could come from a dinosaur. They are very different. The birds were created on day 5 of creation week and dinosaurs on day 6, just like it says back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
Friends, if you've not checked out the website climatedepot.com, you need to do so. You'll find so much information there to really counter the narrative that is coming from the hysteria. And then, you know, the sky is falling hysteria, the global boiling hysteria, that is coming from the UN Secretary General. You know, the day of climate change is the climate heat wave here is whatever is over. It is now a global boiling and that has arrived. Well, we have Mark Morano with us here today, award-winning ClimateDepot.com news and information service. Mark, we are talking about so many issues and the warnings, the fear that's being, just spread like hysteria throughout this planet. Let's deal with some of the issues. We've been talked about some of the issues dealing with the, you know, hottest ocean waters and the issues surrounding it. So if you'll address that issue as well.
Yes, this was a claim made by the Washington Post, and of course it went viral. It went all over the media, and also, oddly enough, it was picked up globally. But what's interesting about this claim is even the corporate media couldn't stand by it because it was so absurd. They claimed it was the hottest ocean temperature ever measured off the coast of Florida, that Florida was essentially boiling and as hot as a hot tub. These are the words of to terrify people. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to scare people to the point where there won't be any resistance to whatever that they want to impose upon us. So what happened was this was one spot in Florida that was in very shallow, murky, and highly sediment, full of sediment water. And they interviewed, oddly enough, it was CNBC, which featured the corporate pushback. The corporate media pushed back on this. They interviewed a local meteorologist who said this is not really indicative of any ocean temperature. This is a bizarre local event in this shallow, murky, dark water. And it was one buoy. And here's the kicker. It wasn't even the hottest ever at that location. It was only the hottest in 6 years. In other words, if you have dark, murky water full of sediment and it's shallow and it's right off the coast, they couldn't even get a 6-year high temperature record out of it. But instead, they got something, and then they tried to extrapolate that, the media, to the entire global ocean.
Yep, yep.
And that is where they just went off the rails, and it became an absurd claim, and they just couldn't do it. So extreme weather expert Dr. Roger Pilkey called it. I love that he goes, they claim the hottest world record ocean temperature. He said, no, it's not a world record. It's not even the highest at that temperature station in the past 6 years. And the Florida meteorologist was talking about, you know, the shallow, murky, dirty water. He was picked up by CNBC. What's interesting is MSNBC, the other corporate branch of CNBC, was reporting that, you know, that this was global ocean boiling, and not, of course, ignoring the fact that the boiling point of water is much higher than what they were claiming this was. I think it was 100, and if I'm not mistaken, 102 degrees. But anyway, that's how that myth was born, and even NBC News ended up pushing back against it.
It is so amazing to see this, and as you're talking here, I am thinking, you know, the goal is to instill fear in people. And Mark, if we can get people to be fearful, that means we can control them. Fear equals control.
You remember Greta Thunberg's famous speech at the United Nations? She actually told she stood before the UN Climate Summit, or the New York General Assembly in New York, and she said, "I want you to be afraid. I want you to panic." Because that's how she's raising alarm bells. Well, what happens when you're afraid? What happens when you panic? You make poor decisions.
Right.
You can't look at something calmly and rationally and look at all the options. You can't look at something scientifically. And that's what they want. I got to stop here because go back to March of 2020. What did our government public health bureaucrats want? Mm-hmm. They wanted us to panic.
Yep.
That's why they wanted us masked up. That's why they wanted us locked down. They came up with viral models showing 20 plus million dead, worse than the Spanish flu. It was the exact same template they used in climate. And now that COVID's faded, they're back to this on steroids with climate.
Yeah. Well, we also have interesting information coming out, warnings about the well, the melting sea ice in the Antarctic. Address that issue, if you would, as well, because that is all building into the fear. And you'll have, you know, the people like, you know, the Al Gores and the John Kerrys out there who are pointing to this and say, see, we've got to act now.
Yes. In fact, what they do is they'll do a laundry list and they'll say, the oceans are boiling, they're as hot as hot tub, the Antarctic sea ice is going under, we have the hottest temperature in Phoenix, we have the hottest temperature in, you know, some absurd number, like 100,000 years, they just throw out numbers. And when you look at each one and you actually get rid of the panic and you actually use the actual climate experts, people on the field, on the ground, using the latest data, all of it wipes away. It literally, the climate hype melts away, to use a nice climate French term. But here's what's going on in the Antarctic. And this was a climate data analyst, Paul Homewood, who looked at the satellite data. They're saying that this is the lowest sea ice, record low, and the sea ice extent, the coverage in Antarctica, that this is a climate emergency. Turns out the ice isn't going anywhere. It's still there. All that happened was that we had heavy winds compress the ice, and it was literally squeezed together. So yes, the ice isn't as big of an extent as it was like last year, but it's also more compressed and thicker. So if you look at ice volume, it's no different than it was, say, in the early 1980s. So you see how that trick works?
Yeah.
They know there's just as much ice as there's always been, but the fact that it's less coverage because the winds compressed it and made it thicker, it's kind of like you have a bowl of ice, right? And then you get it and you squeeze it together in your hands, and then you say, oh, look, my ice is barely covering the bowl. And now it's much smaller. I have all these empty spots. The ice is melting. No, you just squeezed it together and made it a thicker, compressed thing. That's all they've done on the Antarctic. And they just so what they do is they run with this. It goes viral, covers all the media. You could watch the CBS Evening News, CNN. You're going to see these reports over and over stated as fact with no pushback.
Right.
And
right.
They just keep going. And then it's, of course, leading to the belief that you have no choice but to support the
right.
tyrannical policy positions they're pushing, which always involve more money, less money for you, less freedom of movement, more wealth redistribution, more restrictions, more bans on your gas stove, thermostat control, more car gas bans, more bans on meat, more bans on pizza ovens. We have Mayor Bloomberg in New York City wanting to ban in the 2000, I'm not making this up, Jim, a report calling by 2030 to limit the number of clothing per person to three new items of clothing per person by the year 2030 globally.
Oh my.
This is literally the kind of stuff they're talking about, as France is now banning airline flights of 2.5 hours or less to save the planet, forcing people into cars, which have a higher death toll, by the way, than airline travel.
Well, and again, this fear-mongering is happening all over. And I see, too, that King Charles III has launched this new climate clock counting down to the year 2030.
Yes.
You know, this visual reminder of the urgency of the climate crisis. I mean, too bad this wasn't put into effect. I think it was 2007, counting down for the Arctic ice melting that John Kerry warned about in 5 years, that was going to happen.
Yes.
And the clock would have been wrong then. It's wrong now. But I mean, this hysteria is happening all over. And this clock is to be that visual reminder that doom and gloom is before us.
Exactly. And Prince Charles has been at this for decades. You can go back almost 20 years and he came up with the original 100-month tipping point. I believe it was 2008. So that would have been, 15 years ago. And he counted this down. I covered this in my film, Climate Hustle. And we said we have 90 months, we have 89 months, we have, 72 months. And finally it expired around 2015, if I'm not mistaken. And you know what he did in 2015?
Got a new clock.
His tipping point of climate doom. He set a new deadline of like 2047. And now what's interesting is, given his mother's genetics, he may live long enough to see that deadline fail. But aside from that, he then came out this year and endorsed this climate clock, which I believe is only like 6 years, something left. I think it goes back to the AOC tenure, which started in 2019. So now we have till 2029. But anyway, this is obviously these climate tipping point clocks. They're for the gullible and they're silly. I trace this back in my book, Green Fraud, to when Abraham Lincoln was president. 1864 was the first climate tipping point I was able to document by an academic named George Marsh Perkins, who literally said that mankind must change their ways or we will suffer from, quote, climatic excess, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Abraham Lincoln was living in the White House that we were subjected to that. So climate hysteria And I would call it almost a paganism that's taken root. This is this is like the old, you know, the idea is what, you know, when they accused witches in the Middle Ages and in New England, it was based on this sort of, you know, fear of the weather. And they would say, they would accuse the witches of changing the weather, of crop failure. Well, now, and by the way, those witches were convicted by judges who were educated at Harvard. Majority of the witch trials actually were presided over by judges who were educated at our finest universities like Harvard. So these were the educated among us, so that no one can say, oh, these are, you know, this was the uneducated element. And all they've done in modern times is they're basically saying that your SUV, your gas stove, your gas-powered car, your air conditioning is changing the weather, causing crop failures. They just changed the word witch for, you know, humans, and that's what they've done. They're basically accusing humans of causing destruction, and therefore they're coming up with policies that are what? Anti-human.
Yeah, I mean, this insanity is before us. I just saw a story, too, on thenewamerican.com that Senator Bernie Sanders and Markey, Jeff Merkey, and Elizabeth Warren just sent a letter to Merrick Garland, U.S. Attorney General, urging the Department of Justice to bring suits against the fossil fuel industry for its longstanding and carefully coordinated campaign to mislead consumers and discredit climate science in pursuit of massive profits. And I read this and I said, it's scary to know that these are our elected representatives who are voting on so many issues impacting us.
But, yes. In fact, these politicians, when you hear politicians talking like that, they're following what's happening in the climate movement, in the climate agenda. Just this year, in I believe it was April or March, the Harvard Environmental Law Review, the most prestigious of all our journals, and this is, you know, this is the ruling class, right? So this is not, I'm not citing secret documents or some obscure blog. They came up with the phrase climate homicide, and they're arguing that big oil companies can be sued for disaster deaths. Prosecuting big oil for climate death was what the Harvard Law Review is claiming. And, of course, politicians will follow suit. Why are politicians so interested? Because they can sue for money, and they can get class action suits. Every time a tornado hits Oklahoma in Tornado Alley, suddenly you can have huge cash payouts to the politicians can lord over and hand out to all their constituents to ensure their reelection. That's how the world of climate change works.
ClimateDepot.com, folks, is a website, and there is so much that is coming out on climate anxiety as well. I know Vice President Harris has been talking about climate anxiety, and those who have this anxiety are concerned, you know, should we buy a home? Should we have children? I mean, have we gotten to this point? I mean, again, it's all based on fear.
It's absolutely based on fear, and when you, I have a whole chapter on the propagandizing of children. And if you look at what they've done to kids, there's even, you know, the mainstream outlets, everyone reporting about the rise of climate anxiety, kids not wanting to have children when they grow up because they're trying to save the planet. The Greta Thunbergs of the world have really instilled in kid a hopelessness. Just about 3 weeks ago, President Obama was being interviewed, I think it was on CBS News, and he talked about his daughter, Malia, talking about her friends basically saying, what's the point of, you know, having a kids and a family when the earth isn't going to be around? And Obama's message wasn't like, oh, don't, you know, you've given in to climate hysteria. His message was, you got to go out there and fight it and make people solve climate change. So Obama's message was go out there and make the government more powerful and take away more freedoms so that you'll have a good climate. They actually believe the more restrictions you put on free people, the better the Earth climate will be. In fact, Hillary Clinton said it explicitly. Had we not voted for Donald, if Donald Trump not won in 2016, the heat waves would have been less severe. That's the mentality you're dealing with.
The problem is MAGA Republicans. Hey, we're back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
One of the prevalent conflicts in society is the battle over gender and marriage. We are flooded with stories pertaining to drag queen story hours, the restroom debates, gender reassignment surgeries, pronoun identification, biological males on female athletic teams, and so much more. These issues are not only confronting schools and businesses, but they have also encroached inside the church. Many are left wondering how to deal with these matters. The book, The Marriage and Gender War, addresses these issues head-on by using the absolute standard for morality as found in God's Word, and is edited by Bodie Hodge and Ken Ham. The book is designed to equip students, parents, Christian leaders, and others to uphold the truths of Scripture on these critical issues. The Gender and Marriage War is available for a donation of $16 by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
Global boiling hysteria. That's our topic today on Crosstalk. Mark Morano is our guest. He manages CFAC's award-winning ClimateDepot.com news and information service, speaks out regularly on these issues. And Mark, let's hit another issue that's been all this hype on climate change and climate warming, and that is the wildfires happening around the world. I mean, early on, and still blaming on climate change, but I understand a drone video out of Italy picked up a man suspected of setting these fires.
Yeah.
So what about all these wildfires?
Well, first of all, the first thing to mention is wildfires are radically down over the last 100 years, globally and in the United States and in Canada. 100 years ago, we had forest fires that were raging out of control. Nowadays, we have much better forest management and fire suppression, so fires have dropped in cases of 70, 80% or more over the last 100 years. It's been a huge success story. In addition to that, wildfires aren't really a great way to measure whether you think climate change is getting worse, because it has to do with land use, forestry practices, irrigation, water usage, and technology available to stop fires. So it's just not a good example anyway. But if you want to use it as an example, you've completely lost, because fires are getting better. Even recently, if you look at the satellite coverage of just the last couple decades, the data shows that in the last 20 years, the area burned globally has trending downwards, despite the fact of what happened in Canada. In fact, even though Canada had worse wildfire this past year, they're actually globally, especially Africa and Europe, they saw huge drops. So what ends up happening here with the wildfires and with hurricanes and floods and hot weather temperatures, it's kind of like the way they promote a lottery. So they're trying to promote to you all these record temperatures, record wildfire in one location, or unprecedented wildfire. Think of it this way. Your chance of winning the lottery is very low. The chance of someone somewhere winning the lottery is very high. So what does the lottery commission do to get more people suckered into buying lottery tickets? They highlight all the winners. You can see the people holding the big checks. This person won $10,000. This person won $100,000. This person won the Mega Millions for $5 million. This person won $100 million. You get the impression that everyone's winning the lottery. Well, the media and the climate activists do the same thing. You get the impression that the whole earth is burning up, that there's record wildfires, when all they're doing is cherry picking a couple fires around the globe and ignoring the fact that the global trend is way down. And I didn't even mention yet all the arson involved.
Yes.
We had one case in Yosemite National Park where the Democrat politicians blamed the wildfire Yosemite in 2022 on climate change. And it turned out one of their donors was charged with starting the fire as arson. So you have Democrat donors blaming a wildfire on climate change when in reality the wildfire was caused by one of their donors. That's how absurd it is. In Australia, almost 50% of the fires have been known to start not naturally, meaning arson or maybe an accident. So, and in Greece, we're seeing it. We can actually see video of people intentionally starting these fires. But even with those, the trends are still down on wildfires. Mm-hmm. The media is just, again, finding it's an ambulance chaser. If you were of a police scanner in your home, you could get the impression that everyone is being robbed everywhere every weekend, or that, it's the same thing. It's just that it's a psychological weapon that they've honed through years. Casinos do the same thing with slot winners. You get the impression everyone's winning the slot machine. You see all the winners. That's exactly what the media does. They make the impression that everyone's suffering from extreme weather, and the opposite is true. The weather's getting less extreme. The weather was worse when CO2 was lower in the atmosphere.
Friends, let me remind you of what it says in the scriptures, Genesis 8, verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. It's right there, folks. I'm going to open our phone lines, and we're going to hit one other topic while you're calling. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Mark, I'd like to talk about the plans to block the sun. I know they're talking about solar radiation modification, trying to cool off the Earth by reflecting sunlight back into space. I know they have some other approaches as well.
Yeah, again, you know, Bill Gates is at the heart of the COVID lockdowns and the vaccine mandates. He is the number one donor to the World Health Organization. He's also now America's largest single farmland owner, and his goal is to get us all to eat synthetic lab-grown meat, and not making this up, from stem cells from a cow or calf, and then you get the fetal blood, and then they put them in a steel vat, and then they add additives and preservatives, and then they turn it into like a taffy substance, and then they print it on a 3D printer. The reason I'm talking about Bill Gates and the answer to your blocking the sun is guess who's involved in leading the research and funding for blocking out the sun by injecting aerosols, chemicals into the atmosphere to block the sun? None other than Bill Gates through Harvard University. Bill Gates, everything pretty much evil in the world right now has Bill Gates has his hand involved in behind the scenes. Yeah. So what Bill Gates is doing through Harvard and the Biden administration is now picking up, they're seriously looking at these efforts to basically put a film, a chemical film between us and the sun, the idea would be to cool down the temperatures. Now, this is insane on many levels. A, it was warmer during the time when Jesus Christ was born. It was warmer during the medieval warm period. So why would we need to block out the sun now? Because, and they would argue, well, because our computer models show unprecedented death ahead and warming. It's all frightening. And they admit that these plans to inject this chemicals into our stratosphere is going to be risky, unpredictable, but yet they say we still might need to do it because we're not going along with the Green New Deal and these climate restrictions fast enough. So in other words, if we stop driving, if we stop eating hamburgers, if we stop using gas stoves, if we stop buying new clothes, maybe, just maybe, they won't have to resort to this radical, risky experiment on our atmosphere. This is a blackmail, is what they're trying to do. They're trying to blackmail us into giving up our freedom and our liberty, or else they're gonna inject the climate with stuff that has an unknown effect.
Our lines are packed. We're going to begin with Craig calling from New York City. Craig, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. This is exciting. I never been on a show, but I'm just thinking that you brought up a good point. Was it's all about control when they roll out the New World Order, One World Agenda?
Yeah.
It's people think, oh, this is all for the greater good. And he brought up a good point about fear. The minute 2020 happened in March, I was working in New York, and they said, put masks on. I said, for what for? They go, do it. I'm like, what? And I was the first one to say it's about control. Mm-hmm. And people looked at me like I was nuts. I'm like, you know, we never been afraid of a disease we had before in the past. We never wore masks. We never had all this fear. What's all this for?
Yeah.
It's for them to take our rights away from us.
Yeah.
And it's very scary. But the whole climate change thing is right, because I tell people, where's the proof? Everything is hearsay. You know, you can't live your life on hearsay. I always teach that in law school. You know, hearsay doesn't mean anything. It's one person's opinion. Where's the facts of the icebergs melting? Where's the facts of all the stuff hurting our environment, like styrofoam?
Yeah.
So I brought up a good point. I want to say that because people in New York City are so brain dead, they're zombies. Nobody in the city even understands what's going on. And it's so sad because I love New York, but I have to leave because the people here are so, I don't know if they're stupid or intensely stupid.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate the call here. Mark.
He's right about New York City in particular. They're actually going after 100-year-old restaurants, family-run, because they have coal ovens and wood-fired ovens, and they could fire those 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they would have to do it for almost 1,000 years to equal 1 year of John Kerry's private jet flights. They're going after the common man. All these restrictions, I mentioned the flight restrictions in France, 2.5 hours or less, they're not affecting private jets. Private jets are going to have no problem, charter jets. It's the masses. That's what they refer to us as. The commoners, we're the ones that are going to have to suffer and pay. And we've already known this because people like John Kerry, actually, when he was caught flying a private jet to win pick up an environmental award, he said, essentially, do you know who I am? I'm doing important work. I can't fly a commercial. That's the mentality. And he's absolutely right, is that people, I think at least 40-45% of our population will accept all of this, as they did COVID. Hysteria. They'll accept the climate hysteria without question. And
Craig,
that's something we have to work on.
Craig, thanks for the call. We're going to move on. Our lines are packed. Ralph in South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on, I missed most of the program, but, you know, the CO2 pipelines are proposing, mm-hmm. and I've talked to two of my district's representatives, and, well, one's a senator, but they both are in favor of the pipeline. But when I asked them, well, what do you think of this Green New Deal climate change agenda, they say something like, oh, it's ridiculous, or I think it's a bunch of baloney. And then I try and tell them, you know, or they just don't get it. That
yeah, there's a connection between the two.
Part of that agenda.
Yeah, there's a connection between the two. Thanks, Ralph. Yeah. And that's another whole issue.
Real quick.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, well, real quick, I just want to say, exactly what he said is what's happening. Republicans don't get it. Speaker McCarthy, the House GOP leader, will say climate's a problem and we need a solution. We're going to plant trillion trees and capture carbon. They won't challenge the premise or the agenda. They're afraid. And so as a result, just like in COVID, we didn't get to vote on the most consequential restrictions on our lifetime. Mm-hmm. Church closures, school closures, business closures, stay-at-home orders, vaccine mandates, mask mandates, canceling of weddings and funerals. That was all imposed upon us. Guess what's happening in the climate agenda?
Yep.
We didn't vote to ban high-yield agriculture. We didn't vote to ban meat eating. We didn't vote to ban gas-powered cars. It's a corporate government collusion, just like COVID being imposed on us without our choice. And Republican politicians, they didn't vote on the Green New Deal because the Green New Deal's never been put up for a vote. They don't need it. Joe Biden is making every cabinet agency a climate agency, every executive order, and corporate government collusion through things like environment, social governance are imposing their agenda. We don't need no democracy. They don't need a democracy anymore to pass this agenda. And that's why Republican office holders are mostly clueless when it comes to how they're being beaten on this issue.
Thank you, Ralph, for the call. And folks who are quickly moving from the health care emergency that Mark has talked about to a climate change emergency, many who are pressing the president to issue those executive orders to give this raw, unlimited power there. Let's go to Chelsea next in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Chelsea, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim, Mark. Thank you for being awake.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, Mark, what your opinion is of the chemtrails being used since 1955, dropping all kinds of metals on the trees, and that when blue laser beams are pointed onto these into these forests and onto these trees, they ignite like a matchstick.
Okay.
And number two, the undersea seismic explosions that HAARP is using.
Okay. Tell you what, we've got a lot there, and we've got other people lined up behind you. Mark, your response, chemtrails, and then also undersea explosions she was talking about.
Right. Well, the chemtrails program has been around, and you know, I don't know the effect that it has, but it's definitely there. We now have, interestingly enough, as an update, Ginger Z, the ABC News chief meteorologist, was on The View recently with Whoopi Goldberg, talking about cloud seeding and how that's ramping up all throughout the West, and they're putting silver iodide into the clouds to make it snow more and to give storms a boost. So it's pretty scary stuff when the government starts manipulating clouds and increasing rain or decreasing mm-hmm. snow or rain or starting to manipulate it, because I don't know that we actually voted for them to do that. And in terms of undersea volcanoes, there's a lot of undersea volcanoes never accounted for, particularly in places like Antarctica. They'll say, this area, West Antarctica, look at that, that's melting, the ice is melting. And yeah, it is, and it turns out there's undersea volcanoes happening there, but they don't mention that part. They want you to believe that your SUV in your driveway is melting the Antarctic yeah. ice on the other end of the planet. So
yes.
this is a con. And Joe Biden's about to declare a national climate emergency, which would give him 130 new executive powers and give mayors and governors the same powers. Again, they could bypass democracy just like COVID. That's where we're headed with all of this insane claims on climate right now.
We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I was reading Luke chapter 11, where Jesus confronted the Pharisees and the scribes of his day and all their ritualistic washing. And he said to them, "Do you not realize the one who made the outside made the inside?" You know, it's convicting. We can look like we have it all together on the outside, but God knows the heart. In fact, that's what the Bible says. God looks on the heart while man looks on the outward appearance. The Bible also goes on through that revelation to explain how Christ is not concerned about ritual. He's concerned about our relationship with him. How many today are counting on rituals to save them? Moralizing, good works, tradition. Isn't it wonderful to know that salvation is a free gift of God by faith alone? Changing our mind about who we are, what we deserve, and trusting in Christ alone. Amen to that, right?
Mark Morano, our guest here today on Crosstalk, ClimateDepot.com. Check out the info, ClimateDepot.com. And taking your calls here today on Crosstalk, holding the longest is Teddy from Hubertus, Wisconsin. Teddy, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to talk about how they're using the act of fear. And the Bible tells us not to be fearful, not to fear God, because we don't have a spirit of fear. You know, God, you know, having the Holy Spirit in us allows us to have the understanding that we rely on God. And I think that they're just trying to use fear to, like you guys have said, to push these ideas onto these people that, you know, if you gave them the actual facts, they'd actually be able to understand and say, okay, we don't have to worry about this. You know, God's in control. God made the earth. And I think people also understand that God's in control and they have peace with that.
Great. Good point. Thank you,
Teddy. By the way, I just wanted to mention one thing. They push back when you say God's in control, the media. This past Earth Day in April, Time Magazine, not making this up, feature article, "The Case for Making Earth Day a Religious Holiday Urges an Earth Reverent Belief System Complete with Reverence in Hymns and Prophets in the Name of the Earth." But just to give you an idea, that's what they're pushing. It's a paganism. It's very anti-religious, anti-Christian, and that's at the heart of it. And they don't shy away. That was a feature article in Time Magazine.
Jennifer in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, I just want to ask about the recent smoke that we've been experiencing in Wisconsin this summer, just the thickness of it, how it's like smog. It almost smells chemical. It's blamed on the Canadian wildfires, which I question because a few years ago on the West Coast when everything was burning, we didn't have that. And also the obsession with the air quality index.
Okay. Yeah, could you address that issue, Mark?
Yes, you know, the Canadian wildfires were very bad. I was joking that Justin Trudeau, head of Canada, is so enamored with China. He's actually said he admires China's basic dictatorship, which is why he's turning Canada into that. So I thought he admired China so much he's trying to export Chinese-type air quality into the United States. But apparently it was just a really bad wildfire season, again, possibly started by arson or most likely started by arson, and it just depended on wind patterns. So the reason it may have been much worse for you than what you've seen in the past in the West is because the wind came straight down from the jet stream right directly above you, and I think that's probably the reason it felt worse, because it felt – I live in Virginia, and I never had that kind of bad air quality from a wildfire in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. So things like that do happen, but remember – Europe, Africa, other places had well below normal, so there was no big climate trend. There's always going to be a record or something weird happening in any given location. Just as we mentioned, you know, there's always going to be a lottery winner. It doesn't mean the lottery winner is the norm.
Right. Let's go to Greg next in Bloomington, Illinois. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. A study by meteorologist.
Greg, if you could go right onto Greg, go to your phone,
I can't
please.
Understand.
Greg, if you go off the speakerphone, please, and talk right into your phone.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes. Off speakerphone, please.
Okay. A study by meteorologist Anthony Watts found that almost 90% of the 1,221 weather stations in the U.S. did not meet the National Weather Service's setting standards, which requires that they be at least 100 feet from any artificial heat source or radiating surface.
Yes.
To develop reliable data, the NOAA placed 114 state-of-the-art weather stations relatively evenly spaced about the 48 states. And the end result was the overall temperatures are actually slightly cooler than they had found before.
Hmm. Your comment, Mark, on this.
In fact, excellent point, excellent call. My headline at Climate Depot at this moment quotes former NASA climatologist Dr. John Christie as saying, as talking about, he calls it the creeping urbanization of existing weather stations adding to heat. So in other words, even Phoenix, which broke its record, probably really didn't when you add in the fact that they're put these thermometers next to concrete, exhaust fans, and airports. In John Christie's word, the climatologist, he said in Houston, the center of what is now between 6 and 9 degrees Fahrenheit warmer in the cities than it is in the surrounding countryside. So if they had kept, say, if they had had if they had kept the temperatures, you compared countryside to countryside over 30, 50, 100 years, exactly what you said, you would not see these climate trends they're claiming. But they put them in cities with all the urbanization, and the thermometers aren't accounting for all the heat urban island effect and the concrete, and you end up with this artificial warming. That's another huge element. It's the headline, in fact, at Climate Depot right now.
Greg, it was a great point. Thanks for raising that. One final call. You mentioned Phoenix. This caller from Phoenix, Arizona, and Dwayne, you're on the air. Hello, Dwayne.
Yeah, hi.
You're on the air.
I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah. I just wanted to touch on a couple things real quick.
You got
to As you know, it was Anglican University and ASU University here in Phoenix that propagated the global warming fiasco in the first place.
Yes.
And then Putin had debunked that. But the thing I wanted to point out real quick was Farmer's Almanac has come out with their 23-24 calendars. And according to the front page, it's going to be colder.
Interesting.
And I know that they have a bunch of weather people who watch the weather, analyze the weather, to make their calendar work.
Thank you, Dwayne. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, if it is colder, they'll say that's just weather. If it's warmer, that's climate. And yeah. Proof we need to go full Marxist. So Mark, that's the way that works.
Mark, we've got just 1 minute left.
Record snow. In fact, they used to say snow was a thing of the past. Then we had record snow. And now they say record snow is a consequence of global warming. Go figure. You can't beat them at their own game.
We have 50 seconds, Mark. Leave on a positive note, if you would. We've heard so much doom and gloom out there. Are we making progress? Or do we have to fear that this planet is you know, that we're going to self-destruct from because we're driving automobiles?
No, we are actually taking great care of God's creation overall. If you look, I mean, when I say we, meaning the United States, not places like China or you know, even developing world, because they don't have the same environmental standards, human rights standards. But if you go from the first Earth Day in the United States, 1970, we have radically improved our air and water quality to where even the World Health Organization says we have among the cleanest air in the world. We've now figured out how to do logging where we can have the same plant and animal species mixed back within 7 years, so-called sustainable logging. We know how to save endangered species now. We have made incredible environmental strides. No one's interested in that, though, in the climate agenda. All they want to do is literally shut down modern industrial civilization and control every aspect of our life. And by golly, they're actually pretty well succeeding right now. They're collapsing energy, agriculture, and our food supply.
We are out of time. Mark Morano with us here today. ClimateDepot.com, ClimateDepot.com. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
And friends, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk, Global Boiling Hysteria. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.